Thank you for leading us in those songs, Bruce. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you'll open them to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The holiday season is a season of contrasts. Charles Dickens began his book, A Tale of Two Cities, with the famous line, "It was the best of times, it was the worst of times." And so the holidays tend to be. For some, it's a period of unbounded joy and happiness. For others, it is the most difficult and depressing time of the entire calendar year. As we listen on our radios to have a holly jolly Christmas and joy to the world, statistics tell us that Christmas is the time of year that more people battle with depression than any other time. And so today, as we approach this holiday season, I want to offer a word of encouragement, a word of encouragement that comes straight to us from God and from His Word. For all of you who from time to time feel discouraged, and we all do, and from all who at times get the blues, and I think we all do, for those who deal with deep discouragement or depression, we want to offer this hope today from God's Word. Discouragement or depression is defined like this: dissatisfaction with the past, distaste for the present, and distrust of the future. Let me add this one little note just so you won't feel alone if you from time to time struggle with this particular emotion. Depression is regarded as America's number one health problem. At any given time, there are around 10 million Americans suffering from depression. It's as common or more so than the common cold. And I don't know any person who's lived any length of time on this planet that has not had to deal with discouragement, at times profound discouragement. So I've entitled this lesson, Dealing with Discouragement. I want us to listen again to the words of God through the Apostle Paul, there in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles." You know, the comfort that God offers is unique. I'm grateful for good Christian counselors, and I'm grateful even for medicines that those who are dealing with acute depression can take now to help them deal with these low periods in their life. But what God offers is something beyond what any clinic offers or what any prescription medication might offer. The comfort God offers is described elsewhere as the peace that passes understanding. Verse 4 describes God as the God who comforts us. That's present tense. He's not the God who used to comfort people or the God who will comfort us when we get to heaven. He is the God who right now offers comfort to those who are struggling in trial and tribulation. You know, the good news is that if you are feeling down this morning, God's comfort is always there. It's like an eternal spring overflowing from His loving, compassionate heart, always available for those who are in need. There are several Greek words that we see that deal with this idea of discouragement that occur in the New Testament. We see one that occurs just a few chapters over from where we're opened here. In fact, in chapter 4, beginning there in verse 1, we see one of these words that deals with discouragement. Paul writes, "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart." That's a pretty good description, isn't it? You just feel like you've lost heart. Whatever it is you're dealing with is just taking the heart right out of you. Well, Paul felt that way at times in his own ministry. He grew discouraged because of all the things that Satan threw at him. But he says, "We've been given this ministry, and I'm not going to lose heart. I'm going to hang in there. I'm going to trust God to pull me through whatever situations there are." And we've seen Paul's list of the horrible situations he went through. And yet he didn't lose heart through it all. We see this idea again in verse 16 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. There in verse 16 it says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." Did you know that the issues that surround aging are one of the primary causes of depression? Getting old, we're told, is not for sissies. And when a person begins to lose the ability and the strength and the faculties that they once had, it's alarming and it's depressing. When people can't do what they once did, the frustration can easily lead to discouragement and despondency. When our bodies begin to break down and when we see what is that inevitable end approaching, that can plunge one into the deepest pits of despair and depression. Our concern for others can lead us into depression. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 13, Paul had to write to the church there because they had been so concerned and so worried and so upset about his welfare. He wrote, "I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you." Is there a parent anywhere that has not at times been worried sick about a child? What person has never had a friend or a loved one who was facing some terrible situation or some illness, possibly terminal, that didn't feel that heavy weight, that sickness of heart? This morning, we've got those within our church family that are dealing with such issues. I was at the hospital yesterday, and Bob and Jane Hancock were there, and Jane has been involved in a lengthy, lengthy battle, helping her two ill parents, and her dad is in very, very critical condition now. And the weight of that begins to take a toll. And some of you have been there and you know exactly what I'm talking about. We have another of our members who this morning is sitting by the side of his dying wife, Bill Oliver. And some of you know the burden that he carries at this hour. Mark Duffy, one of our former members, knows the pain of night before last having lost his father. Our member here, Cheryl Asher, lost this week her parent. We all have been in situations, and if you've not been there yet, you will be there, and you will know what true discouragement, what sadness of heart truly feels like. Well, how do you cope during these periods of darkness in our life? Some of them are induced by life events. Some of them are induced by Satan and his attacks upon us. Well, Jesus himself supplied an answer, and I'd like for you to turn back over to Luke chapter 18. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus there speaks to his disciples, and it says in the opening verse of Luke 18, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." You see, folks, that's what Satan's after. Whether it's a life event or whether it's some demonic attack that he's bringing into your life, what he wants you to do is throw in the towel. He wants you to, in despair, just give it over. Turn away from God. But Jesus says, don't give up. Pray and don't give up. And then he told this story. In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Jesus tells a story about a woman. Now, her problem, her cause of discouragement was the injustice in her life. And she finally wore a judge out, and he finally granted her her plea. And the point of the whole story is this: we don't have to plead with a God who is hard-hearted and uncaring. We call upon a God who is loving, who seeks our good, who is just. And if an unjust judge can finally be induced to give someone what they need, how much more so will our Heavenly Father give us what He knows and sees that we desperately need in our lives? Jesus says, don't give up. Keep trusting. Keep waiting. Keep looking to Me for the answers that you seek so desperately in your life. Hold on until hope takes root again. An attorney who practiced law just one state over from Missouri dealt with chronic bouts of deep depression. And things got so bad for him at one stage that his friends and family removed his razor from his room and they took the knives out of the kitchen. And this tormented individual wrote in his diary, "I am the most miserable man living. Whether I shall ever be better, I cannot tell. I fear that I shall not." This man did get better. He went on to become the president of the United States. His name was Abraham Lincoln. Many deal with these gnawing feelings of despair, despondency, depression. And prayer will help us to hold on. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, Paul said, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Folks, don't give up. Don't give up whatever it is you're dealing with. Are you discouraged? Then pray. And pray again and again and wait on the Lord. Are you depressed? Allow God to speak to you through His Word. The book of Psalms is probably the single most helpful book in the Bible for anyone who's discouraged. It's like a medicine chest. Listen to just a couple of these beautiful Psalms. Psalm 45, verses 1 through 3. "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging." And then again in the 34th Psalm, that intimate and encouraging Psalm, down in verses 17 and 18, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." We'll turn back to that original passage we began with back in 2 Corinthians 1. I want to look at the last part of the passage that was read for us at the beginning, because you never will be able to fully regain your hope until you are to the point where you can extend your hand of help to another one who suffers and struggles. Listen again to the entire passage. Start again in verse 3. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles." And this is the important part now. "So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows." I don't care how blue you are or how discouraged you are, I can guarantee you that there's someone around here that is in worse shape than you are. Someone who has heavier burdens than you have. And true healing begins when we extend a helping hand to someone else. For some folks, discouragement and depression is a prison. For others, it's a hospital from which they will eventually get well. But more than anything, it ought to be a training school when we're going through these periods of discouragement. A training school where we learn to become stewards of the comfort we receive, so that we can pass on our hope to others who are hopeless. You know, the best news of all is that for the Christian, we can see things in perspective. One of the difficulties in life is that very often we become so concentrated upon our small world that we lose all perspective. But for the Christian, we can see the big picture, because God has shown us the big picture. He's shown us the end of the story. And for those who have Jesus Christ to call upon, I can still know that I have a God who loves me. However desperate my situation may be, I have a God who loves me. I have a Savior who died for me. And I have His promise that all will end well. He has a home for me. So Jesus makes that wonderful, blessed offer in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We as His people want to, need to, long to be involved in this ministry of offering hope to those who have no hope. And today, if you're struggling in this area, if you need some hope and you're feeling hopeless, we can put our arms around you. We can pray for you. We can love you. We can give you words of encouragement. If you're here today and you don't have Jesus, then you truly are in a hopeless situation. And I encourage you in the strongest possible terms to let Him cleanse you. Let Him wash you. Let Him give you the hope that you're going to have as you leave this world one day. If you need to respond in faith to Him as Savior, if you need to respond to ask for help and encouragement from brothers and sisters who care and will help, won't you come right now while we stand and while we sing?